Let me just start by way of introduction to say my name is Susie Kennedy. I said to your colleagues last week I was thinking about the similarities between where we are now and where I was when I was graduating. There was a recession then, as there is now. And on the back of that recession, actually, back in the 80s, I decided to, back in the 89, 90, I started my first business in KBA Solutions. And very pleased I am, too, that that's what I did. What do we do by way of introduction? We are specialists in change management and in leadership development. And in performance management, which is what we were talking about last week. And we work with a wide range of different clients. You can see this is just a small sample. And I'm here because I've been working with the University of Cambridge for some time now. In fact, I've been here all day today, again, reviewing a change program and leadership program with the university. So I'm very pleased to be here working with you guys. I know that, hi, come on in. I know there's a very wide range of different experiences and current, whether you are in a current job or whether you're about to go for a different job in the room. So let me just share with you today, focus of this session is about skills acquisition. And in fact, because there's been a series right the way through, what I'm gonna do this evening is summarize my survival kit, almost, what I perceive to be is the five most important things that I would say you need to have in order to be empowered in your employability or indeed to remain as an effective employee. I say that because, however, in the context this evening, I would like to talk with you as potential leaders. So that's the lens through which I'm looking at this session this evening. You as potential leaders. Is that okay? I would like to do I'd like you to be involved in some of this, although time is very, very short. But I'd like you to take on board some practical questions and some feedback as we go through. Okay. So first of all, this context of thinking about you as potential leaders begs the question, what do we mean by leadership? Now, we define leadership as the ability to influence others, to do the right things right, to grow from the experience and enjoy it. There are many different definitions of leadership, but for us, this is what's important. The ability to influence others, doing the right things right, to grow from the experience and enjoy it. So it's in that context, when we think about influencing others, and that's what we spend most of our work doing, influencing others, how do we go about doing that? Well, that involves a wide range of skills and, of course, of knowledge. So I was thinking, what is the most important thing I would share, given the wide range of experience in the room this evening, and going forwards into whether maybe you're starting a new business or whether you're developing your capability within an organisation. One way of looking at it, I would say, is to think about developing knowledge across generations. So Warren Bennis, another great leadership thinker, said, "We believe that leadership in this world of ever-accelerating change requires both the wisdom of our elders and the insights of younger people." So my take on that is to think through, well, how do different generations view the world? So a canter through generations. Let's start off with baby boomers. What do you know about baby boomers, anybody? What age, typical age, are baby boomers?
56.
Yeah? Okay, so baby boomers are born between 1943 and 1960. Now, this might be helpful and relevant if you're putting together marketing, you do marketing campaigns or strategy. These are the kind of things which baby boomers will remember, yeah? And of course, it's the Queen's Jubilee this year, so she's not a baby boomer, but certainly many of us would remember her accession to the throne at that point. So remember assassination of JFK, civil rights, walking on the moon, sexual freedom, drug experimentation, et cetera, through the swinging 60s. So characteristics, though, of baby boomers are they tend to be loyal, dutiful, hardworking. Late boomers are somewhat different, more experimental, and a fairly recent boomer was on in the press a few weeks ago. Madonna has actually coined her own generation as Generation M, encouraging other people to work terribly hard. Okay, so baby boomers. Let's move on to the next generation, Generation X. Generation X, born between 60 and 80. Anybody in this room a Generation X, as I am? Okay, so let's think of what they will remember and what characteristics they demonstrate. So we'll remember Ronald Reagan, the first George Bush and Thatcher, the fall of the Berlin Wall, Gdansk Shipyard, winter of discontent, and importantly, the arrival of computers. In fact, I remember being I was the first girl in my grammar school in Northern Ireland to do an O-level in computer science, and I did it on a ZX80 and learned basic programming language, my goodness. Characteristics, less expectant than baby boomers to want to have a job for life, slightly more self-reliant, and actually less deferential towards authority. That makes sense? So a slightly different view of the world, bearing in mind where they're coming from. And then we go on further to the next generation. We've got Generation Ys. These are born between 80 and 90. Might remember things like 9/11, same-sex marriages, introduction of YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Importantly, a different generation again. So they're more likely to stay at home for longer, but their expectations are changing. So things like, well, currently worse than economic prospects, expect to give and receive feedback, and expect to shape their jobs around their lives. So if you're an employer of Generation Ys, you would be thinking about this, wouldn't you? What kind of things would you think about if you're an employer of Generation Ys, if we accept this to be the case? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. More flexible working, sure. And then we go on to the final one, Generation Zs, our current generation, characterized as digital natives, they're born with technology. Anyone else? Anyone got kids in this room, this kind of age? Yeah, as I have, and they don't even think about it, they just get on and do it. They expect to share more personal information, expect to collaborate on, obviously on the internet and various different communities. So what might you be thinking about here if you were employing a Generation Z? If you're an employer, if you're a manager of this generation, what kind of things would you think about? They like to communicate and share and collaborate on net communities. How are you working? Somebody else? Could be that, yeah. What else would you be thinking about?
Working in teams,
absolutely. Anything else? As an employer, what might you think about?
I think attention span has gone down a lot in this generation because of internet and texting.
Okay, absolutely. One more thing, anybody?
Spelling, because it's not required in the same way.
I thought you meant I got spelling wrong.
No, that's
what?
So reports with some punctuation and that kind of thing. If there's not, there's requirements still to be writing.
Okay.
It's not
well, sure. So the written level may not be so good. Maybe one more thing you might think about. Again, I'm thinking about from a leadership point of view. Sorry, please.
They don't all have to be in the same place. You can be in the world.
They can go be absolutely completely mobile. But as a leader of people in the workplace, you might be thinking about, what are they saying about me and my company on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook?
Security.
Say again?
Security.
Yeah, security will be an issue. But it's just that whole thing about, the relationship between leader and employee begins, the power balance begins to shift and change a little bit because we are slightly more cautious about the brand of our organisation. Yeah? So those are the kind of things. Anyway, I share this with you really by means of, it's what we share to on our leadership programs is the kind of stuff which leaders will be aware of, whether it's because they're putting together marketing strategies or because they need to think about how do I manage relationships within the organisation. Yeah? So that's one thing I wanted just to say. Doing all right on time, Tim? Okay. So some knowledge we want to have, and then some skills as well, I would suggest we develop. So Peter Drucker, have you heard of Peter Drucker? The great-great-grandfather of management. I think some tremendous wisdom from Peter Drucker I'd like to share with you. There's a very good article as well you may wish to read called Managing Oneself. I think it's absolutely, it's core, very, very important. Drucker said, success in the knowledge economy comes to those who know themselves, their strengths, their values, and how they best perform. So, pretty darn important. So it's very much on the back of that that I share with you my 5 tips to success and survival. So, number 1, I think it's really important to know your strengths. Number 2, I think it's important to know how you learn best. Number 3, I think it's important to know what impression you make on others. Of course, I'm thinking about you in the workplace. Number 4, I think it's really important to manage your boss, managing upwards. And number 5, I actually wanted to square the circle on this lecture series by going right back to the beginning. Who was at the very first lecture? Anybody? Okay, Claire Ruskin did a very good piece and talked about networking. Okay, so, and it is so essential, especially increasingly so, to network. All right? Thanks. So what we'll do, I'm going to ask you all to have a think about this just for 2 or 3 minutes. I'd like you to think about why are these important and what do they involve doing? So why is it important to know your strengths and how do you go about doing it? Okay? You may wish to pair up or just have a little think for just give us 2 minutes. Yeah? I think that should be about right. Why are they important and how do you go about doing them? All right? Could have a bit of music in the background, maybe, Tim?
I'll bring the guitar next time.
I can. You're very welcome to come and join us. Got some thoughts? A few thoughts?
You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses.
You know your strengths, you know. Okay, so why important to know your strengths, anybody else? You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses. Why do you reckon?
It's easier to work with your strengths than to avoid your weaknesses.
Yeah? It's an important one, very important one to play to your strengths and to know yourself well. I mean, I joke, I put the picture of Madonna up, but actually we start our strategic thinking module with Madonna because she's regarded in contemporary strategy circles as being very, very street smart and is able to develop her her product, like the product life cycle. Her offering follows the product life cycle, and let's face it, Madonna isn't particularly gorgeous. She's not even a particularly good singer, some may say. She can dance, but what she does know, she knows how to maximize superstardom. Yeah. I know, I was lucky enough to go to her 52nd birthday party, and she is pretty cool. But actually, in strategy circles, she's a great example of knowing your strengths and maximizing them to the full. Okay, let me share a bit of thinking on this, knowing your strengths. This is my husband. Charles Atlas, what are your strengths? Have you heard of Marcus Buckingham? Another just said a book you might want to have a look at in terms of understanding how to put your strengths to work. I think it's very useful thinking. He bases a lot of his thinking on the work of Peter Drucker. He says, what are my strengths? My strengths are those specific activities at which I do well and for which I retain a powerful appetite. Drucker says, put yourself at the heart of your strengths. So this is about getting to know really what am I really good at? And therefore, how can I maximize that? So I don't end up drifting into a job, but I place myself where I'm going to be most effective. So I think that's really very important. I like Buckingham's work because actually it kind of breaks it down into understanding what do we really mean by that. And he talks about talents, which are innate, skills, which are learned, and knowledge, which is learned. Good news, we can actually learn most of what we're going to be really good at in terms of our strengths. So I think this is important. Those of you that were here last week, we talked about understanding how to be confident in communicating your strengths? Is anybody in this room looking for a job at the moment? Okay, so you're going to job interview. It is so important. Or indeed, we were talking last week in the context of a performance appraisal, reviewing your skills and your strengths. It's really important to know what you're good at and be able to say it and speak it. So this is what I shared last week. This is just a table of skills that employers are looking for. This is from the Exeter competition website. And you know, it's worthwhile. Have a little look at this or whatever. Do a skills assessment, but be able to sit with somebody else and say, do you know what? This is what I'm good at. Let me tell you how I demonstrate that practically. And more so, let me tell you how I learned that. I learned to be good at that. Okay? So I think this is really very, very important. An absolute believer of playing to your strengths, knowing what you're good at, because if you know what your strengths are, you'll place yourself where your strengths are and you'll be happy and more confident in your work. Okay? That was question number one. What was question number two? Can you remember?
Know
how you learn best. Okay, I suggest you may learn best by reading.
Yeah.
Possibly. Know how you learn best. Has anybody in the room done work on understanding learning styles? Do you know what your learning style is? Okay, right, many of you will. But again, this is really useful stuff to have in your toolkit for empowered employability. I'll summarise here. This is a summary of Cole's experiential learning cycle together with Honey and Mumford's learning styles, all mapped on one on top of the other. And you can see this says, to be effective in learning, where are we? There we go. We have a concrete experience. If we enjoy doing that, we're learning by feeling and experiencing, and that, in Honey and Mumford terms, makes us an activist. So, okay, we have a concrete experience, then we learn through reflection, in which case we enjoy learning by watching. That makes us a reflector. Then we develop our thinking through abstract conceptualization, makes us a theorist. And then we enjoy actually experimenting and having a go learning by actually doing, and that makes us a pragmatist. So what the theory says is that we typically have a preference for one more than the others, although we can be effective in learning through all those styles, but we actually probably have a preference of one more than the other. Okay, so I say, get to know what your dominant style is. You can go online, you can take this learning styles questionnaire quite easily. Get to know what your dominant style is, and at work, be clear what type of activities help you to learn best. Okay, you don't have to go on a training course to learn. There's many other different ways that you can develop your skills, but knowing how you learn is important. Drucker talks about whether you are a listener or a writer, and I like that. I like that way of thinking. How do you learn best? Okay, that was question number two. Question number three, remember what it was? Know what impression you make. Okay, how can you find out what impression you make? Give me some ideas.
Reading the body language of the other person.
You can read the body language, yeah, absolutely. Give me another one. Anybody?
You can ask for feedback.
You can ask for feedback. What kind of things might you ask?
Well, if you're a manager, if you're managing a project after it finishes, you can ask for feedback.
Perfect. Anybody else? How else might you gauge what impression you're creating? Without reading somebody else's Facebook page.
The results that you get.
The results you get. Okay, excellent. The results you get?
Hire a spy.
Hire a spy. Pay somebody to go and ask other people and tell you. Possibly. Okay, I show you a little tool, which we use on our leadership program. And I often ask managers to think about this. Think about this. What is your reputation? What is your reputation? And often say, I don't know. I say, well, find out. Look at the body language and the reaction. Go and get some feedback. Yeah? Don't hire a spy. But, you know, this is about asking yourself, this is about self-awareness, really, asking yourself, what is the story about me? You know, how effective am I at communicating? To what extent am I supporting others? What about my the extent to which I have integrity and trust, and I'm known for having integrity and trust, for fairness, for predictability, for competence, and my track record results, for consistency between words and deeds, what I say and what I actually do and deliver, for dealing with poor performance, certainly in a management role, you know, are you known for dealing with underperformance or not? Are you known for caring about people, genuinely caring? Okay? So those are just some indicators that will help you to think about if I'm in a leadership position. Remember, that doesn't mean you have to be managing other people. You may just be influencing without authority. If I'm in a leadership role where I need to be influencing others, what are they saying about me? Okay? I don't suggest you become paranoid about it, but I do think it's really worthwhile thinking that through. Yeah? Okay, that was number three. Crack on. Manage your boss. Okay, any ideas on this? Who actively manages their boss? Thinks about managing upwards. Yeah? All right, give me some ideas, anybody. How might you go about managing your boss? What questions might go through your head in managing your, thinking about managing your boss?
What does he expect?
What does he expect, or she?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Another one. Other questions to ask in managing your boss?
Being proactive and putting suggestions to them rather than waiting for them to come.
Do they want that? Absolutely. Well, let me give you this. It's a summary. Now, there's 10 questions coming here, and there's lots of words. Brace yourselves. Here we are. Question number one, what are your boss's goals? What do they want? Question number two, what does your boss want you to accomplish, and how does that relate to question one? Question number three, is your boss ambitious or content? Number four, if your boss is ambitious, is it about substance or just recognition? And then you can think about yourself in that context. And number five, why is your boss the boss? Number six, are you more ambitious than your boss? Number seven, what do you want out of your current position, and is that compatible with your boss's goals? Of course. Number eight, do your goals advance your boss's goals, or do they conflict with them? And my favourite question of all time, what kind of problems might worry your boss, and are you one of them? Make sure the answer is always no. And finally, what kind of wins or victories most please your boss? Okay. Now, these are clearly all questions about your boss's motivation and what's important to your boss. And in fact, they're the same questions that you would use in influencing anybody else, I would suggest. Okay. And the other thing I was just thinking about, I do a lot of work with Procter & Gamble in one-to-one coaching with many of their senior people. And one thing I always say is, remember, your boss will not always be your boss. So just manage the relationship, therefore. It doesn't last forever, so sometimes you have to do what you have to do just to make it happen in order for you to achieve your goals. Okay. That's number four, and coming up rapidly to number five, network. You're all here. I haven't got anything else to say on networking because it was all said at the very beginning with the Cambridge Network. It's clearly a magnificent place to be, and in terms of networking, no better, I would have suggested. Okay. You can go back to lecture one to see the detail behind this. I think it was a very good lecture. Okay, so in wrapping up, therefore, I say to potential leaders, every time you're interacting, remember that leadership is the ability to influence others, to do the right things right, to grow from the experience and enjoy it. And increasingly, I don't believe that's about influencing and managing employees and reports. I think it's more and more about being able to influence across boundaries and where you have no authority. Okay? And that brings me to the end of this very short session. But because it's the very last of the session, this is all about skills for success and going off and being empowered in employability, I wanted to leave you with this one thought, short quote from Van Gogh, who said, "If you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced." Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.